I hate when my husband works late, being at home, alone at night, hearing every little creak. It's uncomfortable. I thought I was just being paranoid. Then my girlfriend said she felt the same way when her husband travels. Until they had what she calls their Vivint talk. Vivint, my friend calls it the best home security system out there. It's super easy to use and fit right into our budget. And I love my video cameras. I can see what's going on in and around my home right from my computer or smartphone. It's actually kind of funny. I told my husband, if you're going to be traveling or working late, I'm getting Vivint. And it's made all the difference.
Call now. Not only is installation free, you'll get up to $1,500 worth of Vivint security cameras and equipment today at no charge. Seriously, $1,500. Just pay as little as $99 for activation. Call 877-776-3430. 877-776-3430. 877-776-3430. Restrictions apply. 48 or 60-month agreement at minimum $49.99 per month required. Not available in Louisiana. See Vivint.com for license numbers.
I'm not leaving. I'm doing
Hello, this is Shannon.
Hi, Shannon. It's Lisa Matthews.
Hi, Lisa. How are you?
I'm good. I'm just waiting. I wanted to listen. I know I didn't clear that with you before, but...
Oh, it's understood. Anytime. That's fine.
Thank you. Are you having a good day today?
I am.
Awesome.
I'm taking my little... My dog is getting old. And he's getting arthritis, so I'm taking him to the vet in a little while because his heart, he's starting to limp. It's so sad. Do you have animals?
Yes, baby. In fact, it's so fun. It's not funny, but it's interesting that you should mention your dog because my dog has been in the hospital since the weekend. She has pneumonia.
Oh, no.
Yeah, and I actually just got off the phone with the vet. And she gets to come home tonight, so I'm excited about that. But my dog is also old, and really, I just don't know how much longer she's going to be with me.
Oh, my stars. Pneumonia. Yeah. I didn't even know dogs could get pneumonia.
Yeah,
I guess it makes sense. They have lungs.
Yeah, they have lungs.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
Yeah, one of my colleagues, his dog has cancer.
What kind of cancer?
Breast, chest.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's so heartbreaking because they don't understand what's going on. And, you know, when you're poking and prodding them, they kind of know that you're doing what's best for them, but they're also kind of like, this is awful.
Right.
You know?
I said to one of my coworkers here that it's really hard when the ones that the Lord put down here to make us happy aren't feeling good.
Oh, it's true. It's true, because they just bring so much joy, their goofiness and everything. Well, so is she over the pneumonia, or is she just at a point where she's stable and is coming home to continue treatment?
Right, she's at a point where she's stable, and they were transitioning her from the intravenous antibiotics and now to pills in the oral antibiotics. So.
Yeah. Oh, bless her heart.
Thank you.
Sorry.
Well, hopefully they will have a little tramadol for your dog. I hear that tramadol works wonders for dogs with arthritis.
Yeah. And he's been on Remedil, which is like.
Oh yes, Remedil. That's a good one too.
It's not helping. And he's pitiful, and he's so clingy. That's not his personality. I mean, he doesn't want me to be out of his sight at all times. So, you know, I don't know if he's got Lyme disease and that's what's causing the arthritis. You know, I have no idea. So I'm taking him in because when they're pitiful, you know something's wrong.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah. So, indeed. I hope that you're...
We'll have to think of each other.
Exactly. Exactly. I hope that she recovers. How old is she?
Oh, Shannon, girl, she's like maybe 14 or 15. When I adopted her, she was 4 or 5, and I've had her, you know, so long. So the guess is she's 14 or 15.
Yeah.
Dr. Birnbaum, because, you know, I did ask, I was like, you know, should I be putting her down or what? And they're like, no, she's, this isn't her last act.
Yeah, as long as she's comfortable and healthy, you know, yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah, but yeah, when they're in the hospital, it's so pitiful. Dean had to have knee surgery because he tried to jump over the fence to catch a possum or a squirrel and landed on a cinder block brick. And oh my gosh, when he was in there, it was just the most pitiful thing. And they put him under anesthesia and he couldn't stand up.
Oh my goodness.
I hate to laugh, but, you know, when they're so pitiful, you're just like, oh.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Poke them. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, I have a couple questions about pronunciation, and you might know the answer, and if you don't, I will ask Dr. Bishop. Is it the consult services or the consult service section?
I don't know. That's a good question.
Okay. And then Darnall Army Community Hospital, is it Darnall or Darnell? You know?
I don't know. She'll be able
right,
to
I'll
answer
ask,
that.
Mm-hmm. I'll ask her when she comes on.
I gotta tell you that. NEI is not a client that I work with directly.
Mm-hmm.
I actually picked this up from Elizabeth Osborne, who oversees their contract. And she wants to get a few additional interviews in for them, so... I actually have never spoken to Dr. Bishop before either, so this will be my first
cool.
time. I just wanted to listen to her interview.
Excellent. Yeah, this will be fun.
Mm-hmm.
So I wrote a piece about Blog Talk Radio for PBS and how it's a good resource for authors and writers.
Mm-hmm.
And he tweeted, the head of content for Blog Talk Radio tweeted me, and said, we should talk. And I said, okay, I'll email you my contact information. And so he emailed me and asked if we could set a time to talk, and he wants to talk to me tomorrow at 2, and I have no idea what he wants to talk about.
Interesting.
But it was a good thing. Like, it was like
he
retweeted my article and, you know,
mm-hmm.
and said we should talk. So I don't know if he wants me to do something for them or if he wants to see if he can share the rights with PBS for the piece. I have no idea, but I was like,
oh, I need to retweet that. Let me go to Twitter right now. Did you do it yesterday? I totally missed
it. No, it came out last week. But I think that I have tweeted it recently. Here, let me pull up Twitter. Let's see. I actually did one with a picture. Let's see. If you look over on the left side and see the picture that has all the little boxes,
mm-hmm.
click on that. That's got the a link to the article and the graphic on it. But I've also retweeted where PBS tweeted it. However, thank you for sharing that.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, it's so I have no idea what's gonna transpire there, but I was like, it can't be a bad thing.
Oh, it can't be. That's
to me.
Awesome. But I'm still
so,
not your full profile. Okay, there we go. Oh, and often miss marketing opportunity for writers.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay, got it. I will retweet that.
Honey, not right now. We'll go later, okay? You had to wait. I'm sorry.
Rexy scratching at the door.
Come here, baby girl. You have to wait. You have to wait at least 15 minutes, baby, okay?
It's so funny. I tweet for clients, too, you know, occasionally. And I put out a tweet for one of our clients, and I had this person attack me.
What?
On Twitter, asking me if I realize what all that this organization does. And I wanted to say back to them, yeah, duh, I work for them. They asked me to tweet this.
Right.
But the person, you know, I was like, you know what, I'm just going to ignore them because they have no idea. They obviously did not follow the string of tweets. They're just responding, thinking that I'm being critical, where I'm
right.
not being critical. And, you know, it's just so funny on Twitter how people are.
People get really mad. And they, mm-hmm. I mean, they're behind this veil of anonymity, so they will often just really just attack. And it's, I mean, when you're on the receiving end of it, it's, on one hand, you can laugh, but it still affects you because nobody likes to be yelled at, even if it's on Twitter. Wow, that's funny.
I'm saying great stuff from at Shannon Fisher, who did a fantastic interview with Office on Women's Health Director, OWH Director, Nancy Lee.
Oh, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
You're so good to me.
I'm sorry. You're very good to me.
It's a mutually beneficial relationship.
Yes, exactly, exactly, exactly.
Oh, I talked to Mike, and he's putting me in the rotation for the podcast for NPC, so that'll be cool.
Excellent, excellent. I knew that would happen. Yay!
She's calling in. I'm gonna answer
okay.
her. Hold on one second. Hello, this is Shannon.
Hi, Shannon. Rachel Bishop here.
Hi, Rachel. How are you?
Hi, good. I'm calling from the National Eye Institute.
Excellent. Yes, we're in the studio, and I've got Lisa here. She's going to listen in. I'm going to mute her microphone, and she's going to listen into the interview. Thank you so much for taking time to do this today. I appreciate it.
Oh, I'm happy to. Thank you.
I have two pronunciation questions for when I read your bio before we start. Is it the consult service section or the consult service section?
The consult services section.
And then is it Darnall Army Community Hospital or Darnall? How is that pronounced?
Darnall.
Darnall. Okay.
All right. Like darn it.
Yes. Cool. Fantastic. Have any questions before we get started?
No. So this is recorded for radio. Is that what it'll be?
Yes. It's internet radio. I'm with the Authors on the Air Global Radio Network, and we broadcast through Blog Talk Radio. And so what I will do is we're pre-recording it, so it won't air live right now. So if there's anything, if you want to restart with an answer or anything, just say so, and we'll take a pause, and I can edit it out.
Sure.
And then it will go up later this afternoon or this evening. And I'll send a link to Lisa, and I'm sure she'll send all of that to you guys. But, yeah, there will be a permanent link for the podcast that anyone can use or share to access the information.
Great. Thanks.
So thank you. Yeah, it's important to get all this information out there because people they don't stop to think about their health. And so the more we can make them stop to think, the better off for everybody.
And I couldn't agree more. My question is, how is the sound? I had to call from my car. I'm pulled over because that's the schedule today. So I can open windows, close windows. I don't know if there's a vibration or anything. Is this a good sound right now for you guys?
Yeah, you sound very clear to me. I would never have known that you were in your car.
Okay. Well, I'm not driving. How's that? I'm pulled over.
Yeah, that's perfect. That's good. That's a good thing. So you're focused. Well, let's get started so you don't have to sit on the side of the road for too often. I'm going to say hello, and I'll read the intro, and then I'll welcome you, and then we'll just kind of dive right in.
Thanks.
All right. I'll wait 5 seconds so I know when to start the editing. Hello, everyone. Welcome to The Authentic Woman. This is your host, Shannon Fisher, on the Authors on the Air Global Radio Network, and I am excited to have everyone listening today. I've got a fantastic guest who's got a lot of information to share with us. It is Healthy Vision Month, and the National Eye Institute is sending, sorry, my, okay. It's Healthy Vision Month, and I've got a fantastic doctor from the National Eye Institute. Her name is Dr. Rachel Bishop. She's the Chief of Consult Service Section of the Office of the Clinical Director at the National Eye Institute, which is part of the National Institutes of Health, which is part of the Department of Health and Human Services. So she's doing a lot of really cutting-edge work. She performs eye examinations on patients who are participating in clinical trials. And it's throughout the many institutes and centers at the National Institutes of Health. She received her medical degree from the University of Pennsylvania School of Medicine. She completed her medical internship and ophthalmology residency at Walter Reed Army Center in Washington, D.C. She holds a Master's of Public Health from Johns Hopkins, and she also has a distinguished military career. She provided eye care to thousands of soldiers before or after their deployment to Afghanistan and Iraq, as the Chief of Ophthalmology at Darnall Army Community Hospital in Fort Hood, Texas. So without further ado, I would like to welcome Dr. Rachel Bishop. Dr. Bishop, thank you so much.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
There's so much information to share about eye care. It is it's Healthy Vision Month, and the NEI is reaching out to the community to tell them to make their eye health a priority. And many people only go to see the doctor when there's a problem, like a sudden loss of vision or an injury. Why do you think people tend to ignore their eye health until an issue sends them to the doctor?
So, you know, I just think it's human nature that we pay attention to things that bother us. And there are a lot of reasons for that. Unfortunately, in the case of your eyes, the most common eye problems don't have early warning signs. So you could have early glaucoma, early diabetic changes in your eye. You could have early macular degeneration and not know about it. So unlike certain problems where you're going to hurt and that will be your cue to get attention, the eyes aren't like that. And that's one of the reasons we make such an effort to reach out and tell people, even if you're having no problems, even if you think you're seeing great, you still need an eye exam because
sure,
that's
sure.
the only
you
way that we can tell. Yeah.
That's yeah. And you recommend exams that include a dilation of the pupil. So what information does that dilation provide that a normal vision exam doesn't?
Well, you could imagine, say you're trying to see inside a room and you're looking through a keyhole and it's very small, you're just going to see what's straight in front of you. And that's the same thing if we're looking through an undilated pupil, trying to see the structures within the eye. Once you open up that pupil, we can see all the structures. So that's necessary to tell if your retina is healthy, if the blood vessels are healthy, the state of the nerve. So really, an undilated exam doesn't give you all the information you need to tell about the eye's health.
Okay, and so you can see diseases that are forming that you otherwise wouldn't be able to see. Are there people who are at higher risk for eye problems than others?
There are certain eye conditions are, we know, have a genetic component, meaning they travel in families. For example, if you have a family member who has glaucoma or you have a family member who has macular degeneration, you're more likely to have one of those conditions, and it's particularly important that you get your eye exams and be followed.
Mm-hmm. And so do any other health conditions or diseases lead to eye problems?
So there are quite a lot, and you know, certain racial and ethnic backgrounds predispose you as well. So we know that among African Americans and among Hispanics, the chance of having glaucoma, the development of glaucoma, is higher. So it's particularly important, for example, if one of your audience members is an African American over the age of 40 and has never had an eye exam, they're at a higher risk for having glaucoma and should really be checked for that.
Okay, that's that's really good information to know. And I've heard that some medications can cause eye problems. I've heard like Plaquenil that is used for autoimmune disease can cause problems. How do medications factor into the equation?
So as you know, we're a very well-medicated society, and we do know that a number of medications have the potential to cause toxicity to the eye and to different structures in the eye, to the nerve, to the retina, to the front structure, the cornea, which is that clear window that you see through. Basically, there are complicated mechanisms whereby these medicines can change the healthy tissue and the healthy function. And so there are recommendations for screening. For example, if you're taking Plaquenil, it's recommended that you have an eye exam typically every year, sometimes more often. And the physicians who prescribe these medications are typically very well versed in who needs to be screened at what times. So really, as long as your doctor is managing, as long as you have a doctor managing your medication use, you should be referred appropriately for eye exams.
Fantastic. Well, and it sounds like it's a good idea to get an annual exam, regardless of your risk factors and your medications. Do any
Shannon, just a word on that. You know, it's actually not the case that every person needs an annual exam. I mean, that's good news. Now, I don't want to be discouraging anybody from getting their eye exam, but what's really the important message is if you're an adult and you've never had a complete eye exam, then you're the person we're hoping to reach to go and see your eye doctor. It's possible you're 40 years old, you get your first dilated exam, say, and the doctor says everything looks perfectly healthy, you can come back in 2 years, 3 years, depending on all the questions that doctor's going to ask. But so in an eye exam every single year is not required, but if you have never had an eye exam or it's been a long time or you have any changes in your vision, that's the group we really want to make sure gets in for that exam.
Okay, that's great to know. That's really great to know. So it's not necessarily a requirement, but it's definitely a requirement to get a baseline, and that's I think that's very important for sure. Do any lifestyle choices play a larger role in eye health?
Well, like so much of your overall health, your personal choices and lifestyle have a significant impact on your eyes. For example, diabetes is a disease that affects the whole body, and it also affects the eyes. So if you're at risk for diabetes or you're managing diabetes, no question, sugar control will help preserve your vision. Smoking puts you at higher risk for a number of problems in your eyes. And then there are choices you make every day on how you protect your eyes. For example, bright sunlight can cause damage to the surface tissue of the eye that can be very irritating, can also lead to cancers, skin cancers and surface cancers. So taking care to block UV sunlight and wear a large brim cap and UV-blocking sunglasses, that's very important.
Definitely, definitely. And as we get older, it appears, unfortunately, I'm part of the crew, that most of us become farsighted and need reading glasses or bifocals. So what is it in the aging process that causes this to occur?
So, you know, there are things we know and then things that remain a bit mysterious. We know that the lens keeps getting larger. It lays down more cells throughout your lifetime. It gets harder and denser, and through this aging change, we lose the ability to change the focus in our eye. The holy grail of ophthalmology, one of the holy grails of ophthalmology is how to stop this process so we can remain this multifocal system that we were when we were, in our teens, 20s, 30s. It's not understood how to halt that process. So it's actually not a dangerous change. It's a natural aging change. But just like you said, you lose the ability to change focus. So for most people, if they've been doing just fine seeing far away and close up, when you hit your 40s, you'll find that you need glasses, reading glasses, to help see clearly up close.
Mm-hmm. For sure. So are you doing any of the research that you're doing in the clinical trials? Is any of that to try to figure out how to bypass the aging process?
Well, so there's actually quite a lot that the National Eye Institute is funding. Right where we are on campus, that's not one of our research focuses, but a lot of people across the country are trying to understand how the eye ages, also because aging changes affect other diseases that cause vision loss. You know, macular degeneration is a really significant public health problem, and there appear to be changes with aging that we're learning more about through the National Eye Institute, but hope we still have actually quite a ways to go.
Well, sure. Well, hey, you're working on it. That's the process by which we come up with solutions, so that's great. How sensitive are normal eyes to the sun or other bright lights, and who should be careful to avoid light?
Well, so, you know, I think the guidance, useful guidance, would be when it seems bright outside, when you're in the sunlight, the same time that you'd be wearing sunscreen, you really should be wearing sunglasses. There is a range. Some people seem more light sensitive than others, but really there's no reason people shouldn't all be using protection, because the changes that the sun can cause can be quite irritating. You know, when we talk about eye protection, we also don't want to fail to mention protecting against injuries which are accidental, inadvertent. These include sports injuries and also the kinds of injuries that you would subject yourself to doing regular yard work or working with tools in your shop. So wearing protective eyewear, both for sports and outdoor projects, is really important. It's a shame when you get your patient who, how would I put it? We can back up on that comment, sorry, because I'm rambling.
Sure, no problem.
So it's such a shame when somebody comes in your clinic, a kid or an adult, and they have a foreign body in their eye, they've had an injury to their eye, and it could have been totally preventable with use of proper protective glasses or goggles. So that's a really important message to give to your kids, to athletes in your family, and also those of you out doing yard work, particularly this time of year.
Sure, and that's, my mom had a stick fly into her eye when she was doing yard work about 10 or 15 years ago. So it's, you don't think about doing it until you have a problem a lot of the time. So it's a good warning to give people. So how can we all increase our chances of avoiding eye problems? In addition to wearing sunglasses and wearing eye protection, what else can we do?
So I'm so glad you asked. You know, there's a lot you can do. The same messages you would be given by your regular doctor for living a healthy lifestyle, we've learned that those same habits are healthy for your eyes as well. That means maintain a healthy weight, eat healthy foods. In particular for your eyes, we've learned that green leafy vegetables, the oils found in fish like salmon, these foods tend to have nutrients which are particularly beneficial to the eye. Not smoking, that's a very important lifestyle choice. And then managing your chronic medical conditions, whatever those may be, high blood pressure, diabetes, and so on. Another thing that's important, and we touched on it, is know your family's eye history. So if you had a family member who lost vision and it turns out you can find out it was from glaucoma, that puts you at higher risk. It means you can be a little more attuned to making sure you're getting checked for that. And then some of the other things we mentioned about protecting your eyes both from injury and from sun. But I would say the number one message really is because so much of vision loss is preventable, but also is silent in the beginning, getting that dilated eye exam is the only way you can know whether you're suffering early changes that you're just not aware of yet.
Sure. So that's kind of the single most important thing for people to do is to get that exam.
Yeah. You know, and I would add one more thing, which is it's sort of surprising. I find the statistics surprising. There are about 11 million Americans who have what we would call visual impairment, who don't have adequate vision only because they're not wearing the correct glasses. So some people probably don't even know that they could be seeing better because their vision has changed or been poor for such a long time. They just aren't aware that it's not normal. And there might be barriers why other people don't get the glasses they need. But when you go get a complete eye exam, the first thing that is checked is, would you benefit from glasses, and what would that prescription be? And then, of course, we check the health of your eye. And both of those leave room for producing better vision and also keeping your eyes healthy for a lifetime of good vision.
That's excellent. That is because so many people you talk to when they go and they get glasses for the first time and they say, oh, my stars, I haven't seen leaves in 10 years and I didn't even realize I wasn't seeing them. It's amazing.
That's exactly right. Well, you know, when things change gradually, you're not aware of them. So it's a nice surprise if you can solve a problem that way.
Yes, even if you didn't know there was a problem, it's good to solve it. So you can, speaking of problems, you consult with a lot of patients who have been referred to NEI from other facilities and other physicians. What are the diseases that are most prevalent in the patients that are being transferred to you?
Well, so there are kind of two groups. There are what are the most common eye problems, and then there are one of the most common problems that I happen to see at the National Institutes of Health. And those are two very different groups because, of course, we have specialty research projects.
Right.
The most common eye problems, if you're just looking at the numbers and where a lot of research dollars and a lot of progress actually has been made, that are diabetic changes in the eye, and that's
mm-hmm.
helped by better, you know, sugar control, blood glucose control. There have been great advances in macular degeneration treatment over just over a decade now of using special medicines that control the kind of macular degeneration called wet macular degeneration and have helped thousands and thousands of Americans preserve good vision who have macular degeneration. So that's another big one. Glaucoma, we talked about, another big eye problem for which the treatments are very good, and that's one of the diseases that is most unfortunately most often missed until a person gets an exam too late and there's already some damage that can't be reversed. And then
sure.
I'll just quickly finish that list with cataracts. Cataracts are a clouding of the lens, which is removed surgically. It's a very good surgery. The outcomes are excellent, and that's performed commonly, you know, universally across the country. And then finally,
right.
the need for glasses. That's kind of I'd say, the big five that explain a lot of ophthalmology effort.
Research. That's fantastic. Now, one final question, and I want to ask about your research. Have you discovered anything recently that is really exciting or really promising development in eye care?
So one of the most exciting frontiers in ophthalmology and in the body at large is understanding the genetics of disease, because I think a lot of us believe this is where the future lies in not only treating those people who are affected, but curing or preventing problems from developing. And there is great effort at the National Eye Institute and at other centers funded through NEI at studying the genetic basis of disease, leading to interventions. Very exciting. I'd say we're kind of at the forefront of this. I think the next 5 to 10 years are going to be really interesting times, and hopefully we can talk about some of these problems. I'm sorry, we're going to have to back that one up. Hopefully 5 to 10 years from now, we'll look back and realize that we're able to manage diseases, eye diseases, in creative ways that we couldn't today, for example. I'm very optimistic about the future of what the genetics, future work in genetics will show us.
That's wonderful. Fantastic to identify and then to get in and learn to prevent it. Thank you so much for being here today and for talking about all of the eye problems and what people listening can do to change their eye health and protect themselves from having eye problems in the future. Dr. Bishop, thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you so much, Shannon. Can I add one thing? Can I leave your audience with just a resource they can go to if they have questions, or if one of these, something in this interview triggered something they'd like to look into further?
Absolutely.
So if you Google the National Eye Institute or you go to our website, which is nei.nih.gov, there are answers to a lot of common eye questions. There are there's information about how to access resources to pay for an eye exam if that's a limitation. So I really encourage your audience to go to that website, look up what and reach out to us if something is missing, because it's so important that people make eye care part of their regular medical care.
That is great. I will actually add that link onto the broadcast page. So anybody who's looking at the broadcast page right now, if you hover over Dr. Bishop's name and click on it, it will take you to that website. And thank you so much for sharing all of this information.
Thank you too, Shannon. My pleasure.
Okay, so we're good, and I'll go back and I'll edit out where I paused when my dog scratched at the door and and the things that we paused, and this was great. Thank you so much. I hate to think of you sitting on the side of the road, but I sure appreciate the time.
No, I appreciate you doing the program. If there's anything else or any questions, just send them our way, and we're happy to do this. I'm so glad you were interested.
Absolutely. All right. Well, thank you, and okay. Have a good day.
Okay,
thank you,
Dr. Bye. Thanks. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye.
Thank you so much, Shannon.
Oh, absolutely.
I apparently screwed up when I was trying to give you a shout-out on Twitter, and there's another Shannon Fisher.
Oh, yeah, the Shannon Fisher without the underscore. Bless her heart.
Yeah.
She, I really need to somehow get verified on Twitter because she gets so many tags for me. So many.
I bet.
Bless her heart. Sorry, and there's just... apparently you can't just ask Twitter to verify you. It would be a lot easier if they just would. But
they would just do it.
Yeah, but in the meantime, that Shannon Fisher in I think she's in British Columbia, is going to be getting, she just gets the tags. Because I've got the underscore. Who has an underscore in their name? Well, I will go through when I get back from the vet this afternoon, and
yeah,
I will edit out those three
no
little
rush.
Sections, and I'll get it to you. I'll get it to you sometime late afternoon, sometime tonight.
Okay, well, good luck with the baby. Good luck.
Thank you, and good luck with your baby. I'm glad she's coming home, but I hope that she does well and makes a full recovery.
I hope so too, baby. I'll talk to you later.
Okay. Bye.
Bye.